Today we are celebrating our 200th episode of Bible Help Desk.
And I'm back to help recount some of our favorite questions from the past 200 episodes, including some of our very first episodes.
I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Kenia Reyes. Get ready for a very special edition of Bible Help Desk. Welcome to this special edition of Bible Help Desk. Ruben, I cannot believe that Bible Help Desk is on its 200th episode.
I can't believe it either. I know that you have been gone for a little bit. So good to see you again back here in the studio. But for me, episode by episode, I just can't believe it adds up so quickly.
I know. And I know we've been here and we've been recording so many different things, but it's so crazy how quickly time just flies by. And I really have enjoyed my time here at Bible Help Desk. And as you know, but I'm not sure if our viewers know, I had to step down from hosting this program due to a very demanding career change. I now get to lead the youth and young adult ministry in this area known as the Chesapeake Conference. But Bible Help Desk has always had a special place in my heart. And who knows? If my schedule allows it, I may be able to pass by from time to time.
You know, that would be great. It's always good to, again, have you here. I know we've had some new hosts come through and they've done a great job filling in for you and taking some time with us. But to have you or Andre back here again, that would be wonderful.
That would be great. And I know that I remember the first time I saw the ad for a casting call for a host back in 2019. And I always thought it would be so fun to do something like that. I do have to admit that I was excited, but I was very nervous because I didn't know what to expect as I came to the studio for our very first screen test.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but when I did my screen test, you know, when you look at the camera and you have to read the teleprompter, my teleprompter actually shut off.
So
for me, I thought this was all part of the test. I thought this is how they test their new host or potential host. So I just improvised and kept with at it.
Well, look at the talent that shone through, because I think I might have freaked out a little bit. I would have gotten really nervous, but that's really hilarious. And I know you and all of us really have grown a lot over the years as hosts and as people who love sharing about the Word of God. And you know, so much has happened in these past 4 years since we started here at Bible Help Desk. And I don't know, what has changed in your life since you started here?
Well, when I started here at Bible Help Desk, I had recently gotten married. And now I have a 2-year-old daughter. So my wife and I, with my 2-year-old daughter, I continue to work at ADRA, which stands for Adventist Development and Relief Agency. So I work there full time and I enjoy the time that I can be here and also with my family.
That's beautiful. You know, even in my life, so many things changed also since I started working here. I remember I had just gotten married when I got here at Bible Help Desk. And now we've been married for 4 years now, and we enjoy working for the ministry. He's a pastor here in this area, the Chesapeake Conference in Baltimore specifically. And it's just been wonderful to be able to share our lives together in ministry. And Bible Help Desk was such an important piece to that ministry. And I know that this has also been a ministry for you.
Absolutely. I know for me, and hopefully for our viewers as well, you know, from the very beginning, they've been watching us and we're so thankful for that. I'm sure their lives have changed. I wish we could hear about their lives changing. I know we did this show during the pandemic. And now just to see how your life has grown, how my life has grown, it's just been great to hear and how God has blessed us at this show.
Amen. Well, we are going to start our program today, but before we do, before we recap on all of these amazing highlights of Bible Help Desk and its journey, I'd like to share a special verse with you that comes from Isaiah 63:7. And it says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. What do you think if we get started today celebrating all of God's goodness and kindness through prayer?
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you have been so, so good to us and your love endures forever. We ask that you bless everyone that is watching this program today as we celebrate your goodness through these 200th episodes of Bible Help Desk that we've done, Lord. We're so grateful for the way we've been able to share your word and your love to all of our viewers. And we just ask that you give many, many more episodes for us to be able to continue to share your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So what are we going to get into first, Ruben?
Well, I'm excited because we're going to go back into a little bit of a time capsule, if you will, and learn and see more of the segments that we had. So our first segment we're going to play was the Bible Help Desk fourth episode, and one of the first times that you, Kenya, and I hosted together. Now, this was back when we had live callers during the show. I'm sure you remember that.
I do.
I know this is a special segment for you, Kenya, but let's share it with our viewers first.
Yes, we actually do have a phone call right now, and this is Loida from New York. Loida, what is your question today?
Yes, my question, since today is 18 years since 9/11, I have this concern for many years, and I want to know, those people who jump from the building that day, is count as a suicide, or anyway they're going to die? So I would like to know if God is going to count this as a suicide.
Wow. I think you know, that's a poignant question. I am from New York. So, you know, 9/11, it's something so personal. I can still think back to that. I was just 11 years old when it happened. And to see these images, it was something that will forever be etched in my brain. And I think that is an intense question. Do we have something in the Bible that can point us to an answer?
You're talking about someone who's placed in a very serious situation, and they're just trying to preserve their lives.
Yeah.
They're just doing what you and I would do in that situation, and they're trying to get out of a bad situation. And it was a bad situation. Yeah. We at Sligo Church actually had a member whose daughter died in the Twin Towers. So, and it was a very painful experience, and I couldn't even see myself in that position. What would I do? And we can always say, well, if I was, I would never, but you can't do that. And again, we were talking about trusting God earlier. And I think in situations like that, where there's really no black and white, we just have to put our faith in a loving God who cares for us.
Absolutely.
This is a big question. My neighbor committed suicide. He had shot himself, and the police showed up at my door when his wife wanted me to come and console her. And I remember kneeling down with her on his lap in his basement. And the next day, she asked if I would do the service for his memorial. And he had some family members that believed because he'd committed suicide that he was eternally lost.
Right.
And other family members that felt, you know, everybody goes to heaven and everybody's saved. It doesn't matter anything. They have this too extreme. And I was given the responsibility to preach the message to these people.
Right.
And I think to answer it in the best way that I know how is twofold. First off, those who commit suicide are in a mental place that those of us who are not struggling with suicidal thoughts don't fully understand. Unless you're a counselor or psychologist or psychiatrist, we don't understand what's going on psychologically for someone. We all know people who have committed suicide. Yeah. I just got word yesterday of a pastor that he committed suicide. Breaks my heart to hear that anybody. But you would think a pastor would be in an emotional state.
Yes.
So because somebody is in an emotional state that they feel that they must end their lives, they're not in a healthy place mentally.
Yes.
We think that somebody is eternally lost when they commit suicide because they have taken their life into their own hands, not trusting their life in God's hands.
Yes.
That's why people think that they're eternally lost, because now they've taken it back.
Right.
But people in a mental state like that feel they must end their lives, I'm not so sure that's the case. And that's where I turn to Psalm 75, verse 7.
Okay. Yes.
75, verse 7. This is the verse that I read to both families at this man's funeral. It's the one that I think of, like you. I mean, I'm very emotional today, being the 18th anniversary of 9/11. Psalm 75, verse 7 says, "But God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts the other." Here's my faith, as you were saying, it's an issue of faith. I don't know what that person who jumped out of those people who jumped out of those buildings were thinking when they did that. Just the same as I don't know what was in the mind of this pastor yesterday who committed suicide, or church members and others that I've known who have chosen to end their life. But I know that God understands and he knows. And I put my faith and trust in him, believing that he knows the condition of their heart. And I trust that he is, as the Bible says, a loving God and a just God.
Amen.
And so I trust that he'll decide where people will spend eternity.
And again, God is sovereign. And sometimes, as you were saying, we just have to let God be God.
Yes.
Now, I can see that that was a very serious question. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, the reason this was special to you was because of the caller.
Yes, actually. And I was just looking at my facial expressions during that clip. And it was a little bit difficult for me because when I heard who the caller was, I had to pause a little bit and try to recover because it was my mother. Mm. My mother called in that day. And it's very special, one, because she called in and it was kind of a surprise. I had no idea that she would call. But also because we were able to get an answer for her for something she was really just struggling with for years. Yeah. As I mentioned in the clip, you know, we watched all of that happening live. And I just remember very vividly how that was one of the first questions she had that day. She was just, it was just so heavy for her to see these people who were jumping off the buildings. And she kept asking and asking that question. And I was really grateful for Bible Help Desk that day that we had two people who were able to answer this question for her, to give her some peace, to give her some just that assurance that in the end, God is good and yeah. God will know how to resolve that question. And I think she has peace now.
Yeah. Wow. I really love that. I really love how we can see it through family yeah. and hopefully some of our viewers as well. Yeah. We can see firsthand that Bible Help Desk has helped with yeah. answering these questions, as you said, your mom has had since that day.
Yes.
And hopefully we can continue hearing more of that. That was great. Well, the next segment I'd like to share isn't a question, but just a clip from the ending of the very first episode of Bible Help Desk. That was an episode that you, Kenya, and Andre hosted, and you closed the episode with these remarks. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Well, that was great. And then the time just kind of flew by, right? On our very first episode of Bible Help Desk Show. And, you know, it's very exciting that we just started something where we can reach out to many people who might have similar questions to this or even more complicated questions, but we can help them using the Word of God.
Well, Kenya, do you remember recording that? And do those words still resonate with you? I know it was a while back, but do you remember?
I don't remember recording that at all. It was our first episode. And I just remember trying to tell myself, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up, because we were live.
Yeah.
And so it was just a lot of pressure to be live in that moment and it being our first episode. And I had never had previous experience. But, you know, it just kind of confirms, it basically confirms what I just shared with you earlier, that it's just so beautiful to have a place where we could answer these questions from the Word of God, that we could look and find, and we were able to find that God had already spoken to us all those years ago, and what He says in His Word still rings true today.
Yeah.
So I was grateful from that moment. I'm still grateful today, and I know, I'm sure that we have touched so many people's yeah. lives throughout the years.
That's so good to hear, because I agree. You know, those first couple of episodes, they go by so quickly.
It's a blur.
But just to know that some of the words can continually yeah. resonate, and hopefully our viewers as well continue hearing that as well. Well, I'm so glad, Kenya, that 200 episodes later, Bible Help Desk is still firm in its resolve to provide a clear Bible answer for people who are searching for truth and ultimately searching for a clearer picture of God and His plan for their lives.
Me too, Ruben. And many of you may not be aware that Bible Help Desk is supported financially by viewers like you, viewers who share in this mission of Bible Help Desk. And if you would like to help keep Bible Help Desk on the air past its 200th episode, well into the future, please consider making a gift online or by phone.
And if you're unable to support financially, please remember the ministry of Bible Help Desk in your prayers, mm-hmm. that people searching for answers will find them in Amen. The Bible through this program.
Amen. We're going to go to a quick break now, but don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Today we are celebrating our 200th episode of Bible Help Desk with some highlights from previous episodes.
Absolutely, and it's been great so far.
It has.
So this next clip we are playing is one of my personal favorites. So let's go ahead and take a look.
Well, our last question comes in from Facebook. How did Balaam know God? Was he an Israelite? Why did Balak chose Balaam to curse the Israelites? Dr. Wells, what does the Bible say about this?
This is a really good question, which some new discoveries have shared about Balaam. We used to only know about him through the Bible, but we now know that he was actually a fairly famous diviner. He was called a seer of the gods in this cave inscription in Deir Allah, and they have found some of his other writings. And so it seems that he was fairly well known at that time, and this is why Balak would have known about him. But he had to travel really far. So he lived in Pethor, which was south of Carchemish, all the way on the Euphrates River. So he had to travel about 400 miles to go to Moab. So he was obviously very well known for this to happen. And so it's interesting. How would he have known God? Possibly, again, because I think a lot of people knew of God at that point, more than we tend to realize. And he talks with God. He knows God by the name Yahweh. We were talking about that earlier. And he actually asks God permission as to whether he should go to Israel and to curse Israel. And the Spirit of God comes upon him. So he's actually somewhat in tune with God, even though he's not an Israelite and not a full-time believer, it seems like. And of course, later he falls away and leads Israel into sin and goes down some bad paths. But it is interesting that it's probably his prophecy about the star being connected to the Messiah, which is why the wise men of the East in Jesus' day know about Jesus. It's possibly because he was so famous that his writings carried on and people were able to recognize Jesus through that, through those writings that he did.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Wells, for that archaeological evidence. Dr. Holland, do you have anything to add to that?
As Dr. Wells has so aptly shared, he was this well-known diviner, seer, prophet, but he was a prophet for hire. He would take money to prophesy. And, you know, I want to make a modern day application. You know, it's not too different than many of us today. Often we listen to our favorite preachers. We listen to our favorite pastors because we like to choose that which is pleasing to our ears to hear. And we often don't like to hear those things which are hard to hear. And Balaam was going to provide that which was pleasing, or at least he was supposed to. But when we read that story in Numbers 22, we see that he didn't do what was pleasing for Balak and actually prophesied on behalf of Israel rather than against them and cursed them as Balak had intended.
Ruben, what makes this clip stand out to you? There was a lot of information.
There was a lot of information. And if you've seen the clip, I was actually listening and as the question and answers were going through. And for me, I kept listening to this and was just in awe how God may use someone that we may not think can be used by God. This was someone that was not an Israelite. This was someone that, for all intents and purposes, did not know God. But you hear in the answer, they did know God.
Yes.
And they communicated with God. And this is something that I remind myself, that we may see someone and we may think, well, there's no way this person knows God. But we don't know how they are being used by God. So that's why we just don't know the whole story. And when we hear this answer to this question, it just reminds me of, get to know people. You never know how God is using them.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, and I love that she pointed out that that's something that they had learned, you know, that we previously didn't know. And one of the great benefits of hosting Bible Help Desk is that I get to learn so much. And this next clip is another favorite of mine, one where I definitely learned something new. Yes, our next question came in via voicemail. So let's take a quick listen.
Why did Jacob have to suffer an injury before he was blessed? I mean, a dislocated hip gotta be pretty painful.
You know, I definitely agree with our viewer that's asking this question. I think a dislocated hip has to be very painful. I've never broken anything, thank goodness. I've never dislocated anything, but that sounds terrible. So, Dr. Drew, was there a particular reason why Jacob had to have an injury before he was blessed? What does the Bible say about this?
First of all, I don't think Jacob had to have an injury, but the Bible tells us that he did accept an injury. And I suspect that possibly one of the reasons is because Jacob is just Jacob. When you read his whole stories, you realize how stubborn he is, how he persists, how blinded he is sometimes to what kind of person he is in character. And he may have fought that assailant all night long into the morning. What the Bible tells us is that after he was wrestling all night, all of a sudden his opponent touched his hip and it dislocated. Now, if you allow me to use my medical background a little, an acutely injured hip is extremely painful. They are correct. You can't stand on it and you can't kneel on it. And so what position is Jacob in right after his hip is injured? He would be prone, flat on the ground. And notice what he says. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. So what is he hanging on to when he says, I will not let you go? I suggest he's hanging on to the ankle because from a completely prone position, that's all you can grab. So what's interesting is that Jacob's name is Deceiver, and it refers to heel grabber. And because of this injury, Jacob is reduced to holding the heel of God. And so before this injury, he may have been fighting God off, but because of this injury, he now recognizes his opponent is God. And now he clings and he begs for a blessing. Hosea says it very clearly. Hosea 12, 3 and 4 refers to this event and pinpoints exactly how Jacob prevailed over the angel and over God, who was God. 12, 3 and 4, it says, in the womb, he took his brother by the heel. And in his manhood, he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. And so I would suggest, you know, there's a deep psychological lesson here for us. Oftentimes we fight God off until we finally hit rock bottom. And then we turn to God and ask for help when he has been wanting to help us all along. So we are all Jacobs, aren't we, in some sense?
Definitely. I think that you just made this story just feel super relatable to everyone. The fact that all of us, as you just said at the end, all of us sometimes have had to go through certain circumstances to finally be humble enough to realize that we need to hold on to God for salvation. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Drew. Dr. Holland, is there anything that you would like to add quickly to this answer?
I would add the 30 second or less, just simply, we must remember the blessing of Jacob. The dislocation of his hip was not a prerequisite to the blessing, but as Dr. Drew pointed out, it was the result of his wrestling with God. And that is important to understand because there are many on this earth that believe we have to suffer to please God and receive his blessing. But God is willing and able to give his blessing to all who call upon his name.
Amen. I think that is just the two perfect answers for us to go on our next break and then jump into the rest of the questions. Thank you so much for those answers, taking us to another level that I definitely didn't think we would go to with this specific question about a dislocated hip.
Wow, Kenya, that's a great question, and I'm sure a lot stands out for you. I would like to point out that this was during COVID tapings.
It was.
We were at home.
Yes.
And that was just such a unique way of getting answers. We were at home filming, but we still made sure that Bible Help Desk was there for our viewers. So we're glad we're able to do that. So what stood out for you?
Well, I really have loved this answer that Dr. Arlen Drew gave from the moment that we heard from it. I remember I would not stop talking about it. I would share it with everyone. I've even used what she shares that in some of the messages that I have also shared with other people at churches. And I just really love that she gave us a wider context. You know, the Bible, when you're studying it, it's all about context. And all of the expertise she brought on with her medical background, I thought really just delved deeper into the story and made us understand to another level about this surrender that had to happen from the part of Jacob, right? In order for him to accept and humble himself, as I mentioned in that clip. And it's really just an answer that although we've, you know, 200 episodes later, we've heard so many different answers and questions. It's one that has stayed with me. She has stayed with me. Just everything about that question, that answer really stuck with me. And I'm thankful to God because I feel that I also needed to hear that. Yeah. And it was beautiful.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I hope that our viewers understand that sometimes the answers that we hear also impact us as well. And we're able to continue spreading God's word through Bible Help Desk and the people that we speak to as well. That's fantastic.
That's so true. And I know that if we could continue sharing even more. I mean, the whole COVID situation, I thought it was so beautiful that we did have an oasis still to be able to learn more about the Word of God, to have so many guests that were willing to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it wasn't easy for our guests. It wasn't easy for us to set up cameras and to figure out the lighting. And for a while, I did not have much furniture in that room. So there was just echoes everywhere. But we really wanted to make it work because we knew just how important it was for you all watching, for us as well, as we learn more about God's word. And I think we really pulled it off. Yes. And I praise God for that.
Absolutely. I praise God that we did pull it off, because yeah, it was a labor of love, and I'm glad we were able to do it during that time. And as we know, Bible Help Desk is really a whole team of people. It's not just us here in front of the camera. It's all those behind the camera as well, the people backstage running everything, but also our expert panelists who volunteer their time and expertise to provide the answers. They just do fantastic work.
That's so true. We're so grateful to each and every one of them. And Ruben, I thank you for sharing today.
Absolutely.
It's great to be with you once more. It looks like our time has flown by, and it's just been so great to have this experience, to be back here in our studio, to be back with you, Ruben, to be back hearing some of these fantastic answers and questions, to reminisce about how good God has been. And I keep praying that God will continue blessing all of our viewers through the show.
Absolutely. And thank you, Kenya, for being here on this special episode. It's always good to have you here and joining us on this show. So we'll catch you next week with another episode of Bible Help Desk. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.